So many times I've questioned certain circumstances and things I could not understand. And many times in trials, weakness blurs my vision. That's when my frustration gets so out of hand. But it's then I am reminded that I've never been forsaken, and I've never had to stand one test alone. When I look at all my victories and the spirit rises up in me, it's through the fire my weakness is made strong.
Sometimes he brings us through the fire, sometimes through the flood, but always we pass through the blood. And so we appreciate the Lord Jesus this morning being our fireman, being our safe house, being our strong tower, being our very present help in time of trouble. And this morning, if you're here in a heavy heart and you have a heavy heart, a troubled mind, just know that Jesus cares. And Jesus is here to do business with you. And we count a privilege and honor to be here. Welcome everyone to Calvary Baptist Church. And right here in Powder Springs. And we're so glad and what a privilege and opportunity it is to be in Powder Springs in such a multi, just a cultural community. You know, we're here to preach the word to everybody. We're here to touch all lives, not just a select few. And so we want to shine while we're here. We want to shine till Jesus comes, and we want to share the gospel right here at home base, right here in Powder Springs. So good to be here. So good to have some visiting with us. If this is your first time at Calvary, would you raise your hand? And looks like everybody has been here before. And of course, we do have some visiting with us. It's so good to have the Peppers with us this morning, and they minister. I want to say the right thing. Is it carnivals or circus? Fairs and festivals. And they were with us a while back on a Wednesday night, and I called on Brother Pepper to bring the message right on a moment's notice, And he brought a tremendous message lesson that night. But I've had the opportunity to serve with them. I used my one experience, and it was a great experience. Must have handed out, I don't know, a couple hundred tracts on that Saturday at the circus and the fair. But it was a blessing, and you can speak with them after the service if you may be interested in helping out on an occasion or two. And I know they need the help, and they want the help. And good to have them this morning. Good to be here again. I hope you've come to worship the Lord and hear from Him. And I want to say it's good to see the Bendys this morning. Miss Shauna, you're back. And she has been through it. And, of course, her helpmate, Brother Michael, and been there every step of the way, helping his wife. And what a testimony that is, brother, hanging in there and being there for your bride. And Miss Shauna had a surgery, I guess, what was it, a week ago, a week and a half ago, something like that? Tuesday morning, that's right. Tuesday morning. And she's dealing with some spinal issues and fluid and different things, causing her to have stroke-like symptoms. In fact, I believe your vision left you for a couple days, and so it's coming back. We praise the Lord for that. And so good to see you this morning, you and Brother Michael. And, of course, we have others with us that's not first-time visitors, but have been here. So good to see you as well. Let's remember this morning Miss Shauna as she continues to recover, but let's also remember Miss Ruby Harper, who has cancer. Miss Claudia, you say that was stage 4? Stage 4 breast cancer and cancer in the lymph nodes. And so let's really lift up Miss Ruby Harper. We called and had prayer with her the other day. Let's remember David Henderson. He's at home with COVID. And let's pray that Miss Glenda doesn't get that. And so I'm used to looking at the camera right here in front, but I did something different today. I put it off to the side and a little different angle. So, David and Glenda, we're praying for you. And we love you guys. Hope you get better. And Miss Glenda, you do not get it. Also, let's remember Miss Krista Sapp, who went to the heart doctor. And she has some instructions to follow with some iron infusions and building up her iron and things like that. Overall, she had a pretty good appointment, but she does need to follow some doctor's orders, so remember that. All right, CLU this afternoon, Calvary's Ladies Union at 3 o'clock, remember that. Deacons meeting at the same time, have a couple things to discuss there. And then again, evening service tonight at 5 o'clock, and then Brother Allen will bring any announcements he has concerning the choir. You glad you're here this morning? Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. We're glad to be here, and I know for a fact God has something to say. It's burning on my heart, and appreciate Brother Allen and the choir and what he has prepared. So let's pray. Father God, we love you today. We thank you for who you are, for what you do. And Lord, help us just take a moment just to slow things down a little bit, the tempo of the service. We don't want to get ahead of you. We don't want to drag behind either. We want to be right on beat. So I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would guide us and lead us as we worship you. And Lord, we're thankful for these whom you've touched. So good to see Miss Shauna and Brother Michael back in your house. We pray, God, that you would be with them and be with Brother David as he recovers, or as he goes through his COVID and he recovers. And Father, so good to see Bobby McClendon back this morning too with us, who went through that and experienced it and got the t-shirt. And so good to see him back with us. We pray, Lord, a blanket prayer over our entire prayer list, that you would meet the needs of your people. We know you will in your own time. But God, we pray today that you'd meet with us that are here, who've congregated ourselves together, Lord, for the sole purpose of worshiping you in spirit and in truth. Use the choir, use your word. Father, we'll bless you and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Church, stand with me. Choir, stand. Turn over to page number 393. Let's all sing, "When We All Get to Heaven." sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Sing His mercy and His grace in the mansions bright and blessed. He'll prepare for us a place when we all get to heaven. What a day of rejoicing that will be when we all see Jesus. We'll sing on the last. We will have choir practice this afternoon at 4 o'clock, immediately following COU. So if you've been praying about becoming a member of the choir, it'll be a great, great day for that. Just meet us here at 4 o'clock. We got a new choir member. There we go. We got a new choir member there, and we're very proud and very thankful for that. So, again, if you've been praying about that, come and be a part of the choir. It'll be a great opportunity for you to, with us, worship Him together. And we have a great choir, great music department. We would like to see it continue to grow. It'd be okay if everyone out there was up here. I'd be okay with that. We'll sing to the camera, you know, whatever. But it is a great opportunity, and the choir is going to be working on some new songs, so make that a matter of prayer as well. We're very excited about that. But again, 4 o'clock this afternoon for choir practice. Service this evening at 5, COU at 3, deacons meeting at 3. You heard all those announcements. And it is just good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen?
Amen.
That's a little weak. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. That's great. We're here to worship Him and to praise Him today because He's worthy of our praise. Please remember all the prayer requests. Some are going through some very difficult times, and we just want to lift them up in prayer here in a few moments. Please pray for the offering, both the gift and the giver. And would you please pray for Pastor this morning? I know that God has given him a message. And you pray that he'd be able to deliver that with power, under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. We stand in need of the Word. Amen. In an ever-changing world, an ever-difficult world, we surely need the Word of God to be applied to our hearts, to our lives. That when we leave here today, we'll be able to say it's been good to have been in the house of the Lord. And we'll be able to leave a little bit closer to the Lord when we leave here today than when we came in. Would be something, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Because what we'll hear from the Word and be able to worship together, it is so good to see you in the house of the Lord this morning. Again, just continue to remember all the prayer requests. But let's go to him in a word of prayer. Yes.
Saturday, July 23rd, we're having Christmas in July for the seniors. Seniors are 50 years old and up, and we would like for everybody to come and enjoy it. And there's a sign-up sheet over here by the organ. Meat will be provided, and if you would just sign up also on what food to bring, a side dish. And everyone that comes needs to bring a $10 wrapped gift. Non-generic, don't make it be for man or woman, make it be for either one, but please come and enjoy it. We're really excited about it. So it's at 1 o'clock Saturday, July 23rd for our seniors, 50 years and up. Okay, thank you.
Very well. Please remember that. It'll be a great, great time together. Christmas in July. Everybody does that around, you know. You see movies, anybody watch a Hallmark channel? Seems that's the only channel on my TV. It's either that or the Braves, Pastor. But at least I get the Braves in there, amen? But there's a lot of things going on about Christmas in July. It'll be a great opportunity for you to share in a great time of fellowship. That's next Saturday, Please remember that. Brother Don, would you take us this morning to the Lord in a word of prayer?
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the great privilege we have of coming into your house this morning. Lord, I pray that everyone has come in with their hearts right before you. If not, I pray that, Lord, they take this moment to just say, Lord, help me to focus on nothing but you this morning. Yes. But everything outside these doors so that I can hear from you. Father, I pray that you work in my own heart, in the heart of everyone here, to receive the message that you have for us. And thank you for the opportunity to praise you. And also in giving. Father, we thank you for that opportunity and privilege, Lord, knowing that you bless each one of the givers to give with a true, happy heart. We just love you and praise you this morning. Name your son. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Appreciate the Lord this morning. Who is for us? If God be for us, who can be against us? Who is in us if we're saved? And who is with us? His name, Emmanuel, interpreted, means God with us. So, if we have God for us, and in us, and with us, we are victors this morning. And what a wonderful truth and reality that is in the life of the believer. This morning, we're going to mention some things out of Romans chapter number 5. So, if you want to make your way to Romans 5. I have pretty much a lengthy introduction and about a medium-sized sermon, and so we'll just see how that goes. Definitely want to lay the groundwork for the message this morning and try my best to get out what God has put in. Do want to bow for a word of prayer. And then we will introduce the subject. Father, this morning we come in Jesus' name one more time. This is the house of prayer, and so we pray. And God, I'm asking that you would give me a clear head and a calm heart, Lord. Give me the tongue of the learned. Holy Spirit, help me rightly divide your truth, your word. I pray at the same time, Holy Spirit, you would make connection to the hearts of your people. If there's one here this morning that doesn't know you as Father, I pray today will be the day that they become a child of God. And maybe for the Christian that does know you, but they've been following from afar like Peter, I pray today they would come back to the cross. We love you today. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning I have a very simple approach, very practical approach to my message. I want to begin to share, and I like simple, I like practical, because it helps me apply when things are simple and practical. In fact, not long ago, when I was preaching a message, I actually said in that message that there's a message in that. After a phrase that I said. And so this is that message when I said that. There's a message in that. And you preachers and teachers know what I'm saying this morning. Let me say this. When we come into this world as babes, we are inexperienced. That's why we cried all the time. Every time you turn around, it was wham, 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 as a babe. And even sometimes as an adult, Brother Ceylon, it's wham, wham, wham. And so we're just born crybabies until we learn better. So we come into this world as babes, and we are inexperienced. We cried when we were hungry as babes. We cried when we couldn't sleep. We cried when we wanted to use the bathroom. We cried, cried, cried. We were inexperienced babes. But after we grew some and got a little age on us, we learned some things. And that experience silenced the tears as a baby. And as we grew as toddlers and young people, we knew we were going to eat. It was just a matter of when. By experience, we learned that as babies and toddlers and teens, young adults and adults. We knew we were going to sleep. It was just a matter of when. And we learned that the bathroom was there for our advantage. All of these things were learned by experience as babies coming into this world. In like manner this morning, spiritually, when we get saved, we start with no experience at all in this walk of faith. None. Zero. And so therefore, we struggle with things badly. Sometimes those newborn babes who are just born to the family of God, they will struggle badly and they may even backslide. And even during the course of their Christianity, Christian walk, there will be a struggle and perhaps some backsliding. But then you gain experience along the way. And you learn some things. And because of that experience that you have, you're able to mature a little bit and grow and move on. And so, again, let me just say, in like manner, spiritually, when we get saved, we start with no experience at all in this walk of faith. So we struggle with things badly until we gain some experience as a child of God and God being our Father. We learn spiritually that our Father God is, He's a provider. He's a protector. We learn as we grow in our walk of faith that He is a sustainer and a comforter. He's a guide and He's our friend. And so learning these things helps us with our struggles as believers as we progress in our walk. So, as physical babies, we come into this world with no experience until we grow. And then as spiritual babies, we start living our life with no spiritual experience until we grow. Now, I want to ask us all a rhetorical question. And you say, what does rhetorical mean? Well, it's a question asked in order to create a dramatic effect or to make a point rather than to get an answer. So I want to ask us this question this morning. And this is the message God's put on my heart. And he did it a while back. And here's the question. What do we do when our experience runs out? What do we do when our experience runs out? This morning, as a believer, you have experience with certain things and certain trials and times of adversity. But what happens when you get laid off from work and you never experienced that before? And you don't have that experience that comforts you. What do you do? What do you do? What do you do when that close loved one passes away and you've never experienced death like that in your family before? I mean, you have experience in your life, but the experience that you have does not match the current situation you're in. What do you do when experience runs out? What do you do when the doctor calls and says, I have the results, but I want you to come back in for a second visit? You know that it could go either way. It could be either very bad, or he could have just told you over the phone. What do you do? What do you do when you've never been there before and battled cancer? What do you do if you've never been there before and lost a job? What do you do when you have to go to the cemetery and say bye for a little while to that loved one you love so dear? Now you have no experience. It's almost like you are a baby all over again. So this morning, what do we do when we experience something for the very first time? What do we do? Again, a rhetorical question. I'm not really wanting a response. I'm just trying to mention some practical things that lie within that question. I want to give you a few things this morning that are very practical, as I said a moment ago. When it comes to dealing with our experiences, or dealing with our experience when it runs out. Notice, if you would, in Romans chapter number 5, in verse number 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory or rejoice in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. And then verse number 4 is going to be our text verse. And patience, experience, and experience, hope. We know that the end of tribulation is for us to be a patient people with experience. And then when history repeats itself, we know we're going to make it because of the last situation. But I say again, and my question, it truly is rhetorical. What do you do when your experience runs out? What do you do when you experience something for the first time? Well, we know we're to run to Jesus. We know we're to do those things and call upon Him. But again, I just want to look at those things, 1, 2, 3, in a very elementary way this morning. And I just hope it'll be a refresher for you in your walk with the Lord. Number one, what do you do when experience runs out? You re-evaluate your life. You re-evaluate your life. Determine what might be the cause of your dilemma. Whatever it is you're experiencing for the first time in your life, we know that God ultimately works patience in us, and then He brings us to a conclusion. And then history repeats itself, and we know that He'll work again. But the first thing, in a very practical way this morning, I believe, if we're trying to figure out what's going on in our life, we reevaluate our life. Why am I in the predicament I'm in? So let me say that sometimes we experience things, we are in certain dilemmas in our life due to two things. Number one, it's from the correcting hand of God. Now, hold your place here in Romans and turn to Psalm 119, if you would, for just a moment. Psalm 119, verse 67. Sometimes we find ourselves in a storm. Sometimes we find ourselves in a hard place. And so we have to ask ourselves, what's going on? Examine, reevaluate, because sometimes sin lieth at the door. And God, sometimes He allows His heavy hand to correct us so that we might learn. And then we have a new kind of experience. God forbid, but Lord help us if we ever slip and stumble like that again, or stumble, period. We know that God is a God that corrects. Psalm 119, verse 67 says this, David speaking. He says, before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now have I kept thy word. Sometimes in life, if we're out of balance and out of line, sometimes if we find ourselves in a storm, it will be a very good thing. And listen, I'm including myself, to evaluate why we're in that storm. Is there habitual sin in my life? Is there something I'm not letting go of that I keep playing tug and war with the Holy Spirit over? And I tug it back out of His hands. No, I'm not through with this yet. The Holy Spirit says, son, daughter, give it to me. I want to show you abundant life and real joy and contentment. And you're on the other side. We're on the other side. No, 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 you don't understand. Like the Lord don't understand what we're talking about, what we're in. And so we wrestle and we try to persuade God what we're doing is not wrong. And we try to compartmentalize it in within our brains and minds and say, well, this is just something over here that I'm dealing with. I'm not going to do it forever. But I am going to do it now. Sometimes God will, in fact, all the time, God will bring correction in our life. David says, before I was afflicted, I went astray. So in other words, David is saying, I went astray and God afflicted me. Or, I went astray and because of what I did, it brought affliction into my life. I think it could be both. And you know, this morning there are so many people out there in our world, believers who are going astray. There are so many empty pews this morning, even in our church. People have traded an in-person experience of worship for an online experience. And listen, thank God for online experiences. There may come a day where I may need to have someone fill the pulpit, and I watch online if I'm sick or something. But listen, this morning the truth of the matter is that we've gone astray, and sometimes we go astray. And David says, before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now have I kept thy word. You see, God's purpose of correction, I believe, when it comes to the Bible, is that it's like a father and a son here on earth. Or a father and a daughter here on earth. Now let me ask you a question. Do you think that I would let Lily, at 14 years old, stay out running through our neighborhood all night long until the morning time? She's smiling. She knows that'll never happen. And it's not because I'm being mean. It's not because she has a fuddy-duddy dad and he don't know what he's doing and he needs just to give me a little more space and I'll prove him wrong. It's not that I'm trying to be mean or unkind or I don't want her to have fun, but those restrictions are in place to protect her. And I've heard countless stories of how children have rebelled against parents and went out there into the world thinking that they knew better. Only even the most drastic story would be ending up in a cemetery. Some ending up on drugs and some ending up on alcohol because the child thought they knew better than the parent. I want to say this morning that we don't know better than God. Don't know more than God. God, He is our Father. He knows better. And sometimes when we say, no, Lord, I'm going to stay out all night and I'm going to play in the streets of the world, it's not going to bother me. It's not going to affect me. A little drink here, a little smoke there. Oh, but listen, how it does affect the whole family. Yes. Yes. So God brings correction in our lives. And so David said, after my experiences, and after I went for Bathsheba, and some other experiences, he says, now I have kept your word. Now I have learned some things. I want to say, going astray is a teacher. It teaches things when you go astray. Now don't learn from that particular way if you don't have to. But sometimes what I'm trying to say is failure is the best teacher. And thank God for His correcting hand. Thank God for His hand that when we think He's being unkind, He's being unfair, He's really protecting us from what's going on out there in the world. Turn over, if you would, to Jonah chapter number 1. Jonah chapter number 1. Listen to this. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. Jonah, I want you to go preach. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out, there it is, a great wind into the sea. And there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. God did not allow Jonah to run from his love. God did not allow Jonah to run from his calling. God did not allow Jonah. And listen, we know that the mariners were affected. Everybody was affected. Everybody was affected because of one man's disobedience. And any time we sin, we continue to sin, we habitually sin. Listen, you may not think it's affecting anybody else in your ship, but I want to tell you, it's affecting everyone in your ship. Everyone. The mariners were affected. Look, verse 5. Then the mariners were afraid. The mariners were afraid? Whoa, those were trained seamen. When the mariners are afraid, you better be afraid. You're on the ship, you're out in the ocean, and my gracious, the mariners are afraid. The Bible says, and cried every man unto his God. Everybody had their own God. And cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone into the sides of the ship, and he lay, and he was fast asleep. Sin will always keep you in isolation mode. Sin will keep you off the top of the ship. It'll keep you off the floor of the ship. Jonah was tucked away in isolation. He knew he was running from God. Verse 6, so the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. And they said, every one to his fellow, come, let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil has come upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Of course it did. Because God has a way of calling us out. God has a way. Listen, if there's a group of teenagers out in the street at midnight, and my daughter is one of them, and this is just a very simple, practical illustration, I'm not going to call out the neighbor's kid to go home. I mean, I might, but for the sake of this illustration, I'm not going to call out the neighbor's kid. I'm not going to call out the other kids in the neighborhood. I want to say Lily Grace to the house right now. God has a way, if you belong to Him. Listen, He makes it personal. It is impactful. And sometimes it even hurts. But if Lily is out with a group of teenagers past midnight, I want to say Lily Grace to the house. God this morning may be speaking to someone who is away from the cross, someone who is meddling in drugs and alcohol, who is even messed up with, I don't know, the law even, and saying, you are my child, you're my son, you're my daughter, come back to the cross, come back to me and receive what you really need. Come to the well. Now, I want to skip down. We know that. Notice, let's see. Look down in verse number 10. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then said they unto him, what shall we do unto thee, that the sea may calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, listen to this, take me up and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Let me say this. In the mind of Jonah, was he committing suicide? Don't give no answer. In the mind of Jonah, was he given up? In the condition he was in spiritually, I could pretty much conclude that he was given up. I just throw me in, and your ship will be calm, your ship will be safe. I'm the problem. Just throw me in. I'm no good anyway. I'm always getting into trouble. Nobody cares about me. I've messed up so many times. You don't want me on your ship. You know what the rest of that story says? That Jonah was threw overboard. Jonah went overboard and he drowned and died. But there was a great fish prepared to swallow up Jonah. Sometimes in life, we may feel like a castaway. We may feel like our Heavenly Father will not bless us anymore because of our disobedience. We may even say that I'm no use for my family. I'm no good for my home. I'm not a good parent. I'm not a good spouse. I'm nothing, no good to nobody. I'm just going to take my own life, or I'm just going to quit on everybody and be a nobody. But for the grace of God. But for the grace of God this morning. That great well, it was prepared, and it was a saving type of Jesus Christ. And so Jonah went overboard. Here comes the well. And swallowed him up. Oh, the times in my own personal life where I felt like just a failure. When I felt like that I couldn't be the spouse I need to be, the parent I need to be. I'm just not good enough to be this or to be that. I've caused too much turmoil on my family, especially back before I got saved. But there's been times even now when I gave up on me. Never has there been a time when God gave up on me. God was always there preparing the way for me to come back home. God in His grace abounded much more than sin abounded this morning. God's grace is sufficient no matter where we're at or no matter how deep in sin we are this morning. So, what I say is, reevaluate your life. If you're in a situation you've never been before, things are happening around you and you're in a dilemma, you're in a fix, reevaluate your side, your heart and on the insides, because it could be the correcting hand of God. Now, verse 17, and we'll move on of Jonah 1. I'm sorry. The Bible says, now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days in 3 nights. What a blessing that word prepared is. God had prepared. Jonah over here being disobedient. And I don't know when he started preparing that well. I don't know if he's... And he had to swim for days to get there. I don't know. The Bible just says a great fish or a well. But that well, buddy, it was on spot. That whale was actually more obedient than Jonah was. Yeah. How about that? Amen. Man is the type of creation, the only type of creation, in my estimation, that's failed God. Barbara Anderson one time told me that. We were talking. She said, Brother Justin, you know that the only type of God's creation that fails God is man. The roosters crow. The whale obeys, the wind, the sea obeys, but man is the one that always fails God. And so there was a great fish prepared. It was on the spot, mouth open. Jonah came, and it was lunchtime. Swallowed him up. Chapter 2, verse 1. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. We won't read any of these verses. We won't read the whole chapter, but what we see here is repentance. we see that Jonah had a change of mind about his course of actions. Jonah had to go down to the bottom. He said in verse 2, that latter part of verse 2, out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. Verse 4, that latter part says, I will look again toward thy holy temple. Verse 5, the waters compassed me about. His experience, the waters compassed me about, even to my soul, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about, and the weeds were wrapped around my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. Like we sang a moment ago, where would we be without the Lord on our side? He continues and says, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed, salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. Chapter 3, verse 1, what a blessing. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, if you're here this morning and you're in a foreign country, if you're watching on Facebook and you're in a foreign country, you're not walking as close to God as you once have. You're like Peter. You're following from a distance. You're keeping up with things at church by way of Facebook. I want to say, God is not mad with you. He is your Father. He loves you. Anything He does comes and is operating out of the love of God, which is unconditional. You can never get so low that He won't bring you up again. And He wants to give you a second shot. And a third. Brother Allen, and a fourth. And a fifth. And a sixth. And a seventh. You know what Proverbs says toward the end of the Book of Proverbs? A just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. You know what I take in that? Brother Vernon, I take that anytime I fall, Miss Jeanette, anytime I fail, no matter where I've gone, God's mercy and grace is always there every time. Amen. To lift me up again. Yes. This morning the devil wants you to throw in the towel. Don't do that. Don't throw it in. Let me mention one more thing, and then we'll finish up tonight, the Lord willing. So what do you do when your experience runs out? You're in a situation that is difficult and draining and different. Number one, you reevaluate your life, because sometimes it could be the correcting hand of God trying to move you back toward the cross. Number two, cousins to number one, reevaluate your life. Sometimes it could be the correcting hand of God. Other times it can be the refining hand of God. The refining hand. You say, what do you mean, refining hand? Well, turn if you would to Job chapter number 23 for a moment. Job 23, verse number 10. Look what he says. He says, but he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as what? Gold. I shall come forth as gold. And so sometimes in life we like Job, not that we're perfect. Job wasn't perfect. But he was bringing out sacrifice for his kids every day. In fact, chapter 1 tells us a lot, verse 1, about the person of Job, that he was just and upright, one that eschewed evil. And so Job was a good, righteous man. Yet trouble came. Trouble came to his house. Notice, if you would, in verse 1 of chapter 23. The Bible says, "Then Job answered and said, even today is my complaint bitter. My stroke is heavier than my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would know the words which he would answer me." Job knew the words that he would answer him because he'd been there before. Maybe not of this magnitude. "And understood what he would say unto me. Will he plead against me with his great power? No, but he would put strength in me. There the righteous might dispute with him, so should I be delivered forever from my judge. Behold, I go forward, but he's not there. And backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." Job is saying, I don't know where he's at. And I've done everything in my humanly power and in my Christian walk to do the right thing. I'm not perfect. I've failed. I've stumbled. And I'm just going through a season where I just cannot find where Jesus is at. I know he's in my heart, but his presence, and even those certain songs I'd go to listen to, and that would stir up my spirit, as many play the harp in the Bible to stir spirits up toward God. That song doesn't even do it anymore. Even when I go into the house of God, I don't feel his presence. It's not the preacher. It's not the choir. It's me. Everybody around me seems to be happy and praising the Lord. And we know that's not the truth. Behind every smile is a story. But Job is saying, I go here and I go there and I can't perceive him. He is nowhere to be found. All I want to know is where's God at, because I need strength to go on. In fact, I've rehearsed what I'm going to say, and I've told him time and time again, but no response. I know what he would say to me. He would comfort me and tell me everything's going to be all right. He would be my aid. And Job was feeling these things, and he says, I don't know where he's at. Job says he knows where I'm at. Verse number 10, but he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot hath held his steps. His way have I kept and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. How about that this morning? Job was examining his life and reevaluating things, and he said, I know what it is. I'm being refined. God is refining my faith. I don't know where he's at, but he knows where I'm at. And what's more important in that is not that I know where he's at, but he knows where I'm at. This morning, you're not out living in open sin. This morning, you're not sinning habitually. You're not perfect, but you're in a trial, you're in a storm, a place of adversity. You've tried your best to serve Jesus. You give your tithes and offerings. You work on a regular, you work at a job on a regular basis. You try to be the parent and the spouse, all the rest of it. And yet it just feels dry in your life. He's nowhere to be found. Child of God, this is the test of faith. It's the refiner's test. Do you think that we can go on to the next stage with elementary faith? No, we can't. Because what happens is, and I go back to my introduction, the moment we get saved, become a child of God, We have no experience. There's things in my life now that if God would allow me to go through when I first got saved, I mean, I would have quit immediately. I say I would have quit. My human side says I would have quit. There was no way. I would have succumbed to the adversity. But right at 20 years later, I like to think I've learned a few things. And I will say there were some things when I first got saved that made me so angry, so mad, that stopped me in my tracks. I mean, listen, I just backslide on God. Those things now don't do anything to me. Just a bunch of belly aching back then. But it's the experience I needed. It's that experience. And so we go from experience to experience. God is refining us grace to grace. He is allowing us to come into a deeper relationship with Him. Paul said in the book of Philippians chapter 3, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, fellowship of His suffering, being made conformable unto His death. You want to know how you know the power of God? You got to wear the crown of thorns. You got to wear them. 1 Peter chapter number 4 and verse number 12. We'll bring it to a close. First Peter chapter number 4. Verse number 12. Says this, and they want to come on. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. Our flesh and what the devil wants more than anything is for you to think what you're going through, nobody else is going through. The devil wants you to think, and your flesh wants you to think, nobody has experienced what I'm experiencing right now. Nobody. And you see, while your struggle may be strange to some people, it's not strange to God. And you'll be surprised at the brethren and sistern who's been to where you're at. Notice, if you would, in chapter number 5, verse number 7, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. But this is what I want you to see about feeling like nobody's been to where we're at before, been through. Verse 9, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. We're all in this together. You'll be surprised, and I'm not saying go around sharing your business with everybody, but you'll be surprised. Some of the things you think are just so strange and just weird and just cannot make sense out of it all, how many people in this building have and are going through the very same things. It says in verse number 9, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Verse 10, but the God of all grace, who hath called us into His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, you're only going to suffer for a little while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. And so God today is refining us. God today possibly is correcting us. And these are two things that take place in our life that are worth examining to see if we can identify with one of these things. Where are you at this morning? Has your experience run out? Are you at a place where you just don't know what to do? I'll finish the message tonight. There's two more things, but it all starts with evaluating, reevaluating your life. Jesus wants to help. Father, we love You today. We praise You for everything. Thank You, Lord, for allowing us to get out of our heart some of the things that were in there. I pray if You want me to finish this tonight, we'll do so in the same spirit. That is wanting your word to get out accurately and hearts to be touched deeply. Give liberty during this time of invitation, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. If you need to come this morning and respond to the Lord, you come.